Masechet Ta'anit Daf Tet, yet another daf of some beautiful and fun agadot, all about rain. So we begin here, V'amar Rabbi Yochanan. We have a series of statements by Rabbi Yochanan. We saw three of them already. And so now we're up to the next one here about Ma'aser, if you remember this mnemonic. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'i dichtiv, Aser te'aser, Aser bishvil shetit asher. Pasuk says a double verb. Now, when you have a double verb, infinitive plus a future, right? Aser is sivui, te'aser, you will. So that combination in Peshat comes up often. It simply means it's an emphatic. You should surely give ma'aser. Don't be stingy, right? Definitely do it. However, Rabbi Yochanan takes it, and this follows the school of Rabbi Akiva, who said any double language, you have to learn something else from it. And since in the Torah itself, you don't have nekudot and the shin and the sin look the same, therefore he reads it as, give ma'aser so that you will become rich, right? Don't be stingy and feel like I'm gonna giving away a tenth, now I'm going to be poor. No, don't worry, you'll get it back. Ashkecheh, Rabbi Yochanan linoka deresh lakish. So one time, Rabbi Yochanan saw the son of Resh Lakish. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish, they were chevrutot. This is a common thing. When a rabbi saw a young student, he would say, tell me the pasuk that you're up to. What are you learning in school today? He says, I'm learning that very pasuk in Sefer Devarim. So the kid asked, what does it mean? I guess in school, they learn it by rote. They learn it by heart. Then now he got a chance to see his father's teacher in Chevruta, so he asks him, Amale aser bishvil shetit asher. He told him his chidush, that double language is give a tenth so that you will become wealthy. Amale min alach, Amale zil naser. The student says, how do you know it? What's your source that you can explain it this way? And Biochanan says, a source? Go try it empirically. Go do an experiment. Okay, I like that, you know, the kid's asking him for a source. When we ask for a source, we say, oh, Rabbi Yochanan said it, right? He's asking Rabbi Yochanan, what's your source? Okay, and so you go try it. The kid asks a good question. Says, is it permitted to test God? Is that appropriate? Shouldn't you just trust that it'll happen? What kind of thing is that? Another pasuk in Devarim. See, the kid knows. He's up to Devarim 14 already. Is this pasuk? So he already knows what it says in Devarim 6, that you should not test Hashem. Yochanan says, good question. But in fact, you are allowed. He quotes his own teacher, Rabbi Yosha, that says, don't test Hashem regarding anything except for this, about giving charity. One gets wealth back. As the pasuk in Malachi says explicitly, bring the whole tithe into the storeroom that there may be food in my house, meaning in the Beit HaMikdash, because some ma'aser goes to the Levi and then goes to the Kohen. And test me now by this, Hashem says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing that they'll be more than sufficient. And so you'll get it back through rain. So that's what it has to do with our topic of rain. Now this, the end of it is ad beli dai. My ad beli dai, what does that mean? The explicit meaning is more than you need, enough, more than enough. Amar Rami bar Hama Amar Rav Al Sheyivlu Siftotechem Milomar Dai. He's taking the word beli, which means not, to mean like bala, something that's worn out. It's going to be so much. Your lips are going to say enough, enough, enough. You're going to have to say it so many times until your lips wear out and get tired of speaking. That's how much extra it's going to be. Amar Le Ihavat Mateh Hatam Lehai Pesuk Ihavat Mateh Hatam Lehai Pesuka Lahavet Serich Nalach Ulo Shaya Rabach. The kid said, the student says, oh, I didn't learn that pasuk yet, right? We're still up to Devarim. We didn't get to Nevi'im. We didn't get to Tere Hasad. But if I knew that pasuk from Malachi, then I wouldn't need you or your teacher, Hoshaya. So it's a fun, witty comment, right? He said, oh, it's an explicit pasuk. There's the source, right? And that explains everything. You know, sometimes you're quoting something from the teacher said, but it's explicit pasuk. Okay, so he's a smart kid. Another story about this kid, Rabbi Yochanan met, the son of Resh Lakish. This story must have happened later. Now they're up to Mishle already. And he's quoting the pasuk that says, the foolishness of man perverts his way, and his heart frets against Hashem. In other words, sometimes people do really stupid things, and so they hurt themselves, and then they go blame God, and they get angry. God, why did you do this to me, right? Oh, maybe if you weren't smoking three packs a day, it wouldn't happen to you. Right? So they do stupid things, and then they go and are angry at God. So Rabbi Yochanan was wondering about this pasuk. What does it mean? Amar miika midi dichtibi bechetube deladamize beoraita. All right, is there anything that's written in the ketubim that's not at least hinted to in the Torah? This is an interesting concept that everything should be in the Chumash, and the Nevi'im and Ketuvim are elaborating on it. Tosh Bal Peh is elaborating on it, but really the Chumash should have the basis of everything. So Rabbi Yochanan is trying to figure out, where is this hinted to? And the kid has an answer. Amazing. This little kid knows something that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't. Amar le, atu ha mi la demize, v'haketi v'yaseh libam v'yaherdu, ish el achiv lemor ma zot asa Elohim lanu. This is from the end of Bereshit, when the brothers sell Yosef, and then they're in trouble on the way back, and they found the Gavia, and they said, oh no, what's going on? Why is this happening to us? And they feel afraid, and they turn to one another, and they say, what has God done to us? Now, in the Peshat, it means they feel guilty about what they did, and they're like remembering what the guilt from Yosef, and they're saying, oh, Hashem must have brought this as a punishment. So the Peshat is actually, they are in a way blaming themselves and saying God is punishing us. But in the way that this kid, the child is reading it, it's the opposite way. They did something bad to their brother. And then when something bad happens to them, which is a midah keneged midah, they say, God, what did you do to us? And they're taking it as a blame rather than as guilt. Okay, anyway, it was a good answer, and Rabbi Yochanan was impressed. Dal ene v'chazabe. Rabbi Yochanan raised his eyes and looked at the boy. Rabbi Yochanan was very old, and so, you know, it was an effort for him to pick up his eyes and pick up his head to see who it was. And then that moment, the mother ran in and swooped away the boy. And she said, come away from the rabbi so he doesn't do to you what he did to your father. Okay, for this, we need a little background. If you remember, they were actually brothers-in-law. Resh Lakish, when he was young, was a brigand. He was a guy who fights in the
gladiator.
Gladiator, right. Good. And so one time Rabbi Yochanan saw him and said, you know, you're so strong. Your strength should be for Torah, right? If you come learn Torah, I'll give you my sister in marriage. And so he does. And then he learns Torah, and then the chevruta. And then one day Rabbi Yochanan reminds him, remember, you used to be a thief. And Resh Lakish got upset that he said that. And Rabbi Yochanan got upset that he got upset. And then because of that, Rabbi Yochanan looked at him the wrong way, and Resh Lakish died. And then Rabbi Yochanan was so sad that he died. He lost his chevruta. So the mother remembers this and says, you know, now he's going to look at, the Rabbi Yochanan's going to look at you, this kid. He's dangerous, right? Come out of here so the same thing doesn't happen to you. All right, fantastic. I'll follow up to that famous story. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's next statement. Amar matar bishvil yachid, parnasa bishvil rabim. Rain falls, even if for one individual. We saw a lot of stories about even one righteous individual prays for rain, and he can bring rain that will come down for the sake of that one righteous person. But panasa in general, sustenance that's required for a whole society, that only comes down for the sake of the many. One person can't, even if he prays and even if he's worthy, can't bring sustenance for everyone else. Hashem should open for you, singular, lecha, his storehouse to give you rain on the land. Whereas in Shemot, regarding the man, it says, I'm going to cause bread to rain down from the heavens for you. Lachem is plural. So you see, rain is for a singular, but bread and other sustenance is only for plural, for the community. Hold on, we have a challenge to this. In history, there were three sustainers, three people that caused great things to happen, that gave food and necessary items to Bnei Israel, and that was these three leaders. Each of them contributed a wonderful present. The well of water in the desert that Bnei Israel drew from, the pillars of clouds that protected them, and the man. The well was there in the merit of Miriam. Mahmud Anan bizchut Aharon, because of his merit, there was the clouds of glory that protected them. Man bizchut Moshe brought the man. Meta, and how do we know this? Meta Miriam nistaleka be'er. Shenemar v'tamot sham Miriam uchti batre ve'lo hayamayim la'eda. Because it doesn't say explicitly that Miriam brought the be'er there, that followed them along, but it does say that when she died, the very next story is there was no water. And the truth is that if you look, every time Miriam is mentioned, it's always with water. And even her name has Mayim in it, Maryam, or right, Mayim there. So therefore the rabbis derive that, well, how come there was no water? Didn't they have the Be'er? No, I guess it dried up when she died. However, after people said they were so thirsty, the well returned because of the merit of Moshe and Aharon. Met Aharon istaleku anen ha'kavod shenemad v'yishma kanani melech Arad. When Aharon died, then the clouds of glory left them. Again, this is not, doesn't say this explicitly, but through the following midrash that we did see once before, that the Kena'ani, the king of Arad, he heard and he came and attacked Israel. What did he hear? He heard Aharon died, and because of that, the protective clouds left them. This is now my chance. Now's my chance. I can go attack them, and they don't have the protective shield. And this is based on the midrashic reading of this, that all the congregation saw that Aharon was dead. This word vayiru, we're going to reread it. Amar Rabbi Abu, al tikre vayiru ela vayerau kedadesh shakish. Don't read it that they saw that he was dead, but rather they feared. Because he was dead, they saw Aharon was dead, and they knew that he was the cause of the protection of the clouds, and so that's why they feared from the enemies. The Meresh Lakish ki meshki b'shemesh barba l'shonot I dilma ela deha. This is a good grammatical rule. The word ki has many meanings, and it can be used as sometimes if dilma perhaps ela but or deha, which means that or because. So in the peshat of the pasuk, it means that the congregation saw that Aharon died. But in the Midrashic reading, it means they feared because Aharon died. So it's good to know the various meanings of ki so that you can get all the meanings of the verses. Chazru shenehem bizchut Moshe. However, even though the clouds left them temporarily, they came back because of Moshe alone. Already Miriam was Miriam and Aharon both died. Met Moshe nistaleku kulan. After Moshe met, that's it. Moshe died, then that's it. All three gifts left them. Shenemar v'achid et shiloshet haro'im beyerach ehad. Quoting pasuk from Zechariah. It's a difficult pasuk, but in context, it's talking about shepherds that were no longer effective. And the shepherds does seem to be, even in the Peshat there, a metaphor for the leaders of Israel. So Zechariah might be talking about contemporary leaders, but the Midrash is saying it's talking about the three great leaders in our history. Wait a second, did they all die b'yerach echad at the same time in 1 month? They died in all different months. And again, these are not explicit, but based on tradition. But rather, the point is to teach us that they, the three gifts that they were all responsible for were left at the same time, even though they left when each one died, but they came back in the merit of Moshe. When Moshe died, all three were gone. Okay, that whole long Agadah was all there for a question. Rabbi Yochanan originally said that rain comes for an individual, But Parnasa only comes before because of the whole community. But here we have these three, this one individual, Moshe, that just because of him, he was able to bring all man and the well. And so all sustenance, not only rain, comes because of one individual. And the answer is, Shane Moshe, kevan de rabim hu ba'e, kerabim dameh. Moshe is different. He requested the man for everyone. So he's like everyone. He's like a shaliach sibur. He's representing the needs of all of the people, not just for himself. And so therefore that answers Rabbi Yochanan's question. Rav Huna bar Manoach ve Rav Shmuel bar Idi ve Rav Chiya mivas Tanya. These three sages were always were students of Rava. They went to him all the time and studied with him. When Rava died, then they had to go find a new teacher. So they went to Rava's student, Rav Papa. Rava was in the fourth generation. Rav Papa himself was a student of Rava, and he opened up his own school. And so he's in the fifth generation. So they went to his school. This is by the, a very important point, by the way, which is that you see in the times of the Moraim, they didn't have schools like we think of a, you know, an official building that has many teachers. And then when the Rosh Yeshiva dies, then there's someone else in line that takes over and the students stay, right? Even though there's turnover of the faculty, that would be good. That would be true of a large institution, which surely we had during the times of the Geonim. However, during the times of the Amoraim themselves, you see that it was more like this, more like small study circles that attached themselves to a certain rabbi and would meet maybe in his house or in a Beit Midrash or out in the field when it was nice out. And then when that rabbi died, the students would all go and find another teacher. Good. And now, anytime now that the three students went to the papa, anytime the papa said a shemua, a traditional explanation that didn't make sense to them, they would be hinting to each other, right? You could imagine the students were like, this guy is not as good as Rava, right? If Rava was here, he would give us something better. And so they were giving him the eye. And the papa was depressed, right? I imagine everybody would be, or offended even. Okay, we bring this whole story because we're quoting the same pasuk from Zechariah, and then it says, I cut off the three shepherds. So now the three shepherds is referring to these three students here that will be cut off. So the point of the dream is that it's hinting that these three students, because they were offending the teacher, they are not going to continue. They're going to die. And so the next day, when they left, the papa says, go in peace. Now, go in peace, this is ambiguous. Does he mean go in peace because I'm never going to see you again? Like sometimes, the last time you see a person, you know, rest in peace. Or does he mean go in peace that I hope you'll be safe because it's a bad omen that I saw. All right, so we leave that story open-ended. Rav Shimi bar Ashe, hava shechiach kemed Rav Papa. Another story of another rabbi who studied with Rav Papa. He was found often in front of him, this Rav Shimi. Rav Shimi always asked hard questions. One time, Rav Papa fell on his face. And Shema'e de'amar, meaning he said tachanun, right? And he was praying. It's when you say the most heartfelt prayer, they would actually probably go bow down during tachanun. And Rav Shimi overheard his prayer and he said, Rachamana liselan mekisufa de Shimi. He said, Hashem, please save me from the embarrassment of Shimi. It always asks me hard questions I don't know the answers to. Kabel aleh shetikuta vetula akshile. Rav Shimi then felt bad. He says, I meant well, but I see that it's causing him pain and embarrassment. So from then on, Rav Shimi was quiet. Okay. All right. So good to know the boundaries between, asking good questions and tough questions. And, you know, sometimes they can be too much and be embarrassing or difficult to keep the class going. All right. Now, we mentioned the last thing Rabbi Yochanan said was that rain comes even for a single person. His colleague, Resh Lakish, agreed. also for one person. Adonai osea hazizim, umtargeshim mitenahem, leish, aseb basade. Pasuk in Zechariah, ask of God rain at the time of the last rain, even of the God who makes thunderstorms, and he will give them showers for rain. For a man, grass in the field. So this is what we're just going to focus on, even for one person, for one ish. Just ask for it. Yachol lakol. Now, does this mean that you need everybody to ask for it? Tamud lamad ish, not just one person. Maybe if, even when you say one person, it's only when he needs it for all of his fields. Tamud lamad sadeh. Even if one person needs just one of his fields to get rain, it's appropriate to ask, and Hashem will answer. And even that field, you think it's only if you need it for the whole field. What if it's only part of a field? Tamud lamad ayasev. The word ayasev in singular. In other words, even if there's just one plant, one blade of grass that needs rain, you can say, Hashem, please bring rain to this plant, right? And Hashem will answer. I don't know if you definitely answer, but it's appropriate to pray. Ki had Rav Daniel bar ketina. Hava le hahi gineta. This Rav Daniel, he had a garden. Kol yoma hava azel v'sayad le. And every day he would go and check it out. Amar ha meshra ba'aya maya, ha meshra la ba'aya maya. And he was said, this bed of vegetables needs water, and this one does not. Ve'tamitra ve'kam mashki kol echad mi'ba'e le maya. And the rain would come exactly where he needed, and it wouldn't come to the other part, because the other part already has enough water, and then you don't want to overwater it. So it was like a perfect sprinkler that came exactly where it was needed and not where it's not needed. This reminds me of the scene in the Truman Show when it rains only on him, right? And everything else is dry. And as he walks around, the rain follows him. May Hashem oseh hazizim. Back to that pasuk. What does it mean that Hashem makes thunderclouds? Amar bi oseh b'ribi yechadinam b'limit shekol sadiq ha-kadosh baruch hu oseh lo haziz b'fnei asmo. That for every righteous person, he gets his own separate thundercloud. May hazizim amar Yehuda. Porchot. Amar bi yochanan siman l'matar. Porchot. What does it mean, thunderclouds? It means flying clouds. In other words, flying clouds that they'll go around for each sadiq and they'll give him rain wherever he needs it. And so Rabbi Yochanan says, if you want to know when rain is coming, look for those flying clouds, right? These cumulonimbus clouds. Here we have a picture here, right? When you see this big cloud, then you know that rain is coming. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan was also a meteorologist. Didn't know that. My porchot amar papa ayba kelisha tute ayba se michta. It means a thin cloud under a thick cloud. If you just have a thin cloud, there's no, not going to be any rain from that, but you have the thick towering cloud above that. That's a rain cloud. Amar Rav Yehuda, nehila mikame mitra, ate mitra. Rav Yehuda was also a meteorologist. He says, if you find a drizzle before rain, it means rain is coming. In other words, if you didn't have any rain, you see a drizzle, then you can expect more rain to come. Brilliant. Batar mitra pasik mitra. But if it already rained and then there's a drizzle, that means it's stopping. Okay, I think this is kind of obvious. I'm not sure why he had to teach us this. But there's even more. Because maybe you'll forget it and switch it around. So he gives a mnemonic to remember this order. Mikame mitra ate mitra simanech meholta. The sign for the beginning when the drizzle before rain is a sieve. Just like a sieve, you put some flour in it, and already a little bit of flour comes out even before you start shaking it. So you see that the beginning of a little drizzle, then you could expect rain to come. Debatar mitra, pasik mitra, v'simanech charia de'izeh. And when it stops raining, then it will slow down to a drizzle. And to remember that, just think of goat dung, that first it has a lot of droppings and then only small droppings. And that's how you remember first a lot of rain, then a little bit of rain. Okay, there's a lot of strange statements in the Talmud, but I would put this at the top of the list. Ula, maybe there's a deep meaning. Someone will explain it to me one day. Ula ikla lebabel. Ula was from Eretz Israel, and he once traveled to Babel, Chazah, Porchot, and he saw these clouds, these flying clouds, these cumulonimbus clouds. Amar lehu panu mane dashta temitra. He says, everybody, get the vessels out from outside. Bring them in. The rain is coming. Because he was from Eretz Israel. And it's true. Whenever you saw those clouds, rain would come. But the rain never came. Okay, he's also like the modern meteorologist. Whatever they say, the opposite happens, right? So the rain didn't come. He's like, wow, how could I get it wrong? Great line. Just like the Babylonian people themselves are liars, even their clouds are liars, even their rain is liars. Right, in Eretz Yisrael, when you see a big cloud, if it sure rains in Babel, the clouds are tricking people, right? These Babylonian liars. Okay, so he didn't have too much respect for the Babylonians. Ulai klal Babel, another, but he kept going there. So another time he went, Chazem Ela Sana de Tamre Bezuza. He saw a basket full of dates on sale for just one zuz. The word zuz may come from the word Zeus, that because on the coin they minted a picture of Zeus. Anyway, it had so many dates just for a little bit of money. This is, how could this be that you can get a whole basket full of dates for one dinar, and the Babylonians don't sit and study Torah? You can just work for a few minutes and make a zuz, and you get a whole basket full of beautiful dates. So they shouldn't have to work so much, then they should learn more Torah. So he's criticizing them. However, after he ate a whole basket of dates at night, he had a stomach ache. Maybe this is connected with the goat over here. So after that stomach ache caused him pain, he said the opposite, a basket full of knives for a dinar, eating these things as like knives that cut up his whole inside. And so it's amazing that the Babylonians are able to study any Torah at all when they have such terrible food that makes their stomach upset. All right, maybe he just wasn't used to the food, and that's why he got an upset stomach. All right, Tanya, Rabbi Eli Azed Omer Kol Olam Kulo Mimeme Okyanus Hu Shotesh Nemar Ve'ed Ya'aleh Min Ha'aretz Vishka Et Kol Penei Ha'adamah. We're going to see a fundamental machloket about how weather works, about the rain cycle. And according to Rabbi Eli Azed, everything in the world gets watered from the ocean, from the Atlantic Oceanos, the same letters as ocean. It's a Greek word. So in other words, the water from the ocean evaporates, rises, and forms clouds that comes over the land. As it says, back in Gan Eden, a mist came up from the earth. So he's learning from that. He knows about evaporation. It's an amazing thing. And water is the face of the ground. Rabbi Yoshua has a good question. He says, go to the ocean. The ocean is salty water. But when it rains, it's fresh water. So obviously, there's something wrong with your formula. He says, no, when they're in the clouds, they get filtered. They get sweetened by the clouds, and the salt leaves them. Which is actually totally true, right? The evaporation, only the water goes up and the salt stays down. So the whole system of evaporation and clouds, in fact, does desalinate the water. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer has a very advanced theory. Rabbi Yoshua omer kolom kulo mimayim ha'elyonim u'shoteh shnemad b'tal shamayim tishteh mayim. Rabbi Yoshua says, the whole world drinks from upper waters. Way back from the time of creation, remember there was water, and Hashem put half the water up in the Rakia and half down here. And similarly in Devarim, it says water, and it drinks water as the rains of heaven come down. There's water up in heaven, and that's what comes down. Remember the little doors that open up, and the water comes down. So Rabbi Yoshua is following the ancient Near Eastern view. And so in that case, what does the pasuk in Bereshit in Gan Eden mean, that there's mist that comes up from the earth? What do you do with that pasuk, Rabbi Yoshua? It's a very creative answer, that this mist that comes up, that is the clouds, but the clouds are not made out of water. The clouds are just empty vessels. They're like leather bottles. So the clouds go up, and then the little doors open in heaven, open up and fills up these vessels, like pitchers, and then it brings the water over the land wherever it's needed, and then the clouds distribute it like a sprinkler system. Okay, menukabot hen kikich bara. The clouds themselves are perforated like a sieve. mayim al gabe karka shenemar hashrat mayim abe shechakim, and they sprinkle like a beautiful sprinkler system on the ground, as says in Shmuel, gathering of water, thick clouds of the sky. En ben tipale tipale kim lo nima lelamedcha shegadol yom hageshamim kiyom shenibreu bo shamayim va'aretz. And an amazing thing that even though the water is all together up there and comes down, nevertheless you get it drip by drip. And that even though the drips are so close together, there's just a hair breadth between one drip and the next. Somehow, it doesn't all gather together as just one big dump of water, but it comes down as rain droplets. And that is as amazing as the day of creation of the heavens and earth. Shemar oseh gedolot ven chayked. Who could understand this? Whenever you see something that is just impossible to comprehend, this is as great as creation. וכתיב הנותן מטר על פני ארץ, וכתיב להלן, הלא ידעת אם לא שמעת, אלוהי העולם, אדוני, אין חקר לתבונתו, וכתיב מכין הרים בכוחו. A whole bunch of פסוקים that talk about how amazing creation is. So just like we can't understand creation, so too, it's so hard to understand the beauty and the miraculous nature of the rain. Now that we have these two opinions, right, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, we're going to test out other pesukim. Keman azla hadichtiv, mashke harim me'ali yotav. Who would agree with this? That's where it says, who waters the mountains from the upper chambers. Well, upper chambers, that sounds like Rabbi Yoshua. Amar Rabbi Yochanan me'ali yotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the chambers, it's God's chamber. God lives up in heaven, right, metaphorically. And so there's chambers of actual rain up there. Keman ki Rabbi Yoshua. Good, that does sound like it's talking about Rabbi Yoshua. And in fact, I mean, it's not surprising that we'll find in Tehillim and other places, especially poetry, we'll find references to the ancient Near Eastern view. Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer, who may have learned his theory, by the way, from the Greeks, and the Greeks did have pretty advanced knowledge of the water cycle. So what is he going to do with that pasuk? Rabbi Eliezer would say, no, after it evaporates and goes up to heaven, then it is in heaven. So you could still appropriate to say from his upper chambers. The clouds themselves that come up from the ground are called water in the upper chambers. There's a good proof. The pasuk also says powder and dust from heaven, describing like a windstorm. Well, is there wind up in heaven? Are there also, you know, chambers of dirt, of dust that also come down? No, obviously not. The dust is on earth, and that dirt, wind comes and causes it to come go up and then come down on things. So it's the same idea. Once it goes up, then you call it from the heavens. And so too with rain, once it goes up with evaporation, then you say it came down from heaven. Good. Last test. Noten be'osarot tehomot. He gathers the water of the sea together in a big heap, and he lays up the deep in storerooms. So look at these storerooms. Migaram lo sarot sheitmaleu bar tehomot. What caused the storerooms to be filled up? It was the deep, the waters that fill it up. Could it be Eliezer? This fellow's be Eliezer, that there's water down below in the deep depths of the oceans, and somehow that water goes up and fills up these storerooms that are in heaven. So that describes the Greek scientific water cycle. Rabbi Yoshua, what is he going to do with that? Ahu b'briyato shel olam. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, that was only a one-time event when the world was created. Then all the water was everywhere, all over the chaos, all over the earth. And Hashem took half of it and put it up in heaven. That's a one-time event. It's not talking about the regular cycle of evaporation. Okay, absolutely fascinating discussion of the water cycle. And you see the rabbis are very interested in the science. And whatever opinion you follow, it's in any case a miraculous and wonderful event that we take for granted. And so just reading through this helps us appreciate the great gift of rain. Baruch Adonai l'olam, amen v'amen.